I just wanted to start off by saying, thanks for inviting me to speak. As Bernie just said, I've been in business for about 5 years, but the company I run now with my business partner has been around for about 2 years. And I'll get back to the genesis of why we started Figment. That's the name of our business. But I just thought I'd just start off by introducing myself, maybe giving a little bit of background as to my history, where I've worked, and why I started out in business. I think it's really nice to have these sorts of workshops because they actually, as Bernie said, we are coming together, we can chat about things, we can help encourage each other. But for me as a business owner, it's helpful to get up here and talk and really kind of challenge my thinking and try and address and communicate that in an effective way. So a little bit about me. I'm from the Northwest Coast. I moved down to Hobart about 10 years ago for work. During school, I was always really interested in design and communication and art and photography. And, I just spent a lot of time doing those sorts of activities. I kind of had my head in the clouds most of the time during school, and I loved to create things. And I really enjoyed it. And back in high school, this was kind of the period where the internet was kind of just emerging in Australia, and we had an internet connection at home, and I really started dabbling with the nuts and bolts of the internet, how web pages worked, the behind the scenes technology with how the internet functions, and I was just fascinated by it. And so I spent a lot of time designing for the internet. And I'm not sure what it was, but I think it was the interactive aspect of websites. And back then, it was particularly just static web pages. But I loved the idea of clicking things around and seeing images move and just seeing brands start to be more engaging. And I just loved this idea, and I loved the medium. And so I had little hobby businesses in college and in high school. I designed a lot of brochures and logos for friends and family. And when the internet came along, it was just a natural progression to move from static sort of design and print design over to the web and making that an interactive and engaging experience. So I did that for a number of years, and I set up a little company when I was in year 11, and I was advertising web design services. And I, when you're young, I don't know why I did this, but I advertised the fact that I was producing the best web design in Tasmania, and I thought I was, because I was looking at what was happening, and it was such an early stage. I was doing pretty well, I was an early adopter of the medium, and I'd really understood the nuts and bolts of this, so I was making web pages for people, and I get a phone call from a company in Hobart, and they said, "Look, we've noticed your website, and we'd like to offer you a job." And I said, "Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm actually still in high school. And they said, oh, right. Oh, we just got this impression that you'd been trading for so many years and you'd won all these awards. And well, that was true, but, you know, I was still in school. I wasn't in a position to take a job. I said to them, look, I really would like to work with you. It's a medium I'm quite passionate about, but I've committed to further study. So I went to Canberra for a year. My other interests were is obviously design and art and creative production, and I was doing a 3D modelling and animation course in Canberra. So I'd committed to do that, and they told me, look, when you've finished your study, we'll have a job waiting for you. And so I said, thank you, I'll take that. And a couple of years later, I moved down to Hobart. And I was basically thrown in the deep end. That was a time when companies were embracing this new medium of communication. And you know, at a very young age, I was working with companies like RACT, Connect Credit Union, a whole array of premium brands in Tasmania, and so I was a senior designer and just designing interactive experiences for the web. So, out of that, that experience of working with these clients, you know, you being a creative, I'm interested in all aspects of their business. And so it's not just the web, it's, you know, their identities, it's their print collateral, it's television, it's I don't have much of an interest in radio, but that's a contributing brand factor for a lot of these companies. And so I left this company I was working for to start my own business because I was really interested in everything. In all facets of how a business communicates and engages with their clients. So I started 5 years ago. I was just freelancing basically, and I've been involved in all sorts of projects, from television projects to print projects to obviously web projects. And then when you start really deeply thinking about design and communication, inevitably the question comes up in client meetings. You know, let's talk about your brand. Something started to happen. A lot of our clients didn't quite understand what their brand was, and that got me to thinking, oh, maybe I don't understand what brand is either, because I'm hearing a lot of these mixed messages. And so, you know, just deep reflection over maybe a couple of years, talking with people and talking with our clients about what a brand actually is, because a lot of the time we get clients coming to us asking us to design things, in particular logo identities, and the descriptions they give us don't quite align with the true definition of what a brand is. Yeah, so over the last few years I've been rethinking brand. And I'm not, I don't profess to be a branding expert. These are just thoughts and feelings that I've had over the years. I've read numerous books on the subject, and there's common themes that have really come through about what brand actually is. But I think the real question is, what is brand? What does the word brand actually mean? And what does brand mean to you right now? I think to answer those questions, it might be helpful if we step back a little bit and look at the origins of brand, what brands are today. And from there, I just want to share with you some ideas that you may or may not have thought about in relation to brand. You can't escape this, but I am going to delve slightly into advertising and marketing as well, because it's all part of the mix. So I will get a little bit off topic here and there, but in essence, we're still talking about brand. So brand origins. You've probably heard this story. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. The kind of original brand story. I don't know if it's true or not, but the original idea of the first brand is cattle owners. They'd heat up these searing hot rods with a little emblem that they've kind of made up, or some kind of shape, and they'd sear it into the cow, purely as an identifier or a mark that I guess was to simply identify that this cow belonged to this cattle farmer. And that's kind of the original, I guess, brand origin. It's the literal word of brand. You know, you're branding a cow. Now, and then obviously that grew into all sorts of things. People started marking all sorts of objects or possessions or products. And I think that's where kind of the art or the idea of a logo or emblem was kind of born. It was kind of born out of that, creating some kind of mark or identity that was identifiable. If we just fast forward a little bit further, we kind of start to hit this era of marketing and advertising. If you can just imagine, I love that. Have you guys seen Mad Men, that TV show? I don't know why, I just think of this era when I talk about this. But you know, there's a fair few products in the marketplace. Everything's branded. Everything's got a little logo on it. And you know, the idea of separating out your product visually from everyone else is fairly common. But now people are starting to develop what's called USPs, unique selling propositions. What makes this product different from this product? Or how can this product be of use to you? And I guess this kind of kicked off the advertising industry. Product marketers needed a way to creatively sell their products in the market that they were selling in. Come out with a creative way to do that. I think Richard, I haven't seen him, but Richard might talk about this later in his workshop in more detail. There's service industry brands as well. That starts to take off, the service industry. However, at that stage, I think it's fairly one-dimensional. You know, if you can imagine, I don't know, a dentist. You walk in, it's the same service that you get from this dentist to the other dentist. The only difference might be is how the secretary talks to you. I think it's fairly siloed. If we talk about brands today, face a lot of challenges simply because there's just so many products on the market. There's so many services available to you. Some brands are exchangeable. Yesterday I walked into the supermarket and I wanted to buy a soda water, just plain soda water, carbonated water. I walked in, and there's 10 different products of soda water. And I stood there, and I thought, oh, which one am I going to get? I couldn't find the one that we'd normally buy. So there's obviously more than 10. I looked at the packaging. I looked at the price. I'm making several decisions here. I looked at the ingredients. No sugar. Great. It's just water. And I spent 5 minutes making a decision about it. So brands today are constantly facing this challenge. There's just so many of the same thing in the same category. And they're trying to constantly grab your attention. Television, newspaper ads, radio ads, websites, social media, guerrilla marketing campaigns, viral marketing campaigns, signage on cars, buses, trains, boats, at the movies, skywriting, balloons. And there's hundreds of other ways that brands are now trying to get your attention. And it's not necessarily for something that you want or maybe even need. What's this done now? Well, I think people are certainly becoming numb to advertising. The ads on my TV seem to get louder and louder. We've become quite skeptical about a lot of brands, particularly brands that have a lot of market dominance. And even social media is becoming quite saturated. And I find myself turning off now in social. There's just ads everywhere. There's brands within brands. That's even more complex. So how do we create a business in such a competitive consumer and service-oriented world? How do you create a brand that gives it the best chance of survival in such a cluttered and competitive marketplace? How can you revitalize your existing brand if you have one already? So I want to try and present to you an idea that hopefully shifts your thinking about what a brand is. It's not rocket science. You probably already know this. But I feel like, particularly with my experience with our clients, I feel like a lot of people misunderstand this basic idea of what it means to have a good and desirable brand. Firstly, you should think of your brand as the sum of all the parts of your business. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. I think a lot of people make a mistake in thinking that a brand is simply the mark or identity. It was, right? It was for the cattle farmer. But now the brand has transitioned from being simply the identifier of a business, i.e. the mark on the back of the cow. It's gone from that to being all the touch points that the business has. Okay? Businesses are quite complex these days. There's so many things that a business has to do in order to survive in this complex market. So a brand is everything. It's all the touch points. Your brand is how the phone is answered, your tone of voice in an email to a client, how you're welcomed into a building, the visual impact of your office or store, how you package and present, the quality, usability, longevity of your product, price. Are you expensive or are you cheap? There's so many attributes to your business, and as a whole, they make up your brand. Okay, so that's number one in creating a brand environment in today's market. Simply put, your brand is not your logo, it's not your visual identity, but it is everything that your customer or client sees, touches, hears, smells, and tastes. Brand is the customer experience. That's what it is. at the end of the day, the brand essentially is the whole customer experience. I don't know if I made that very clear. It's everything. The shift that I'd like you to understand is this. And I had to think about this for a while, and I realized that it was true, that you are not in control of your brand in any way, shape, or form. The brand exists in your customer's head. That's where the brand is. Okay? It's detached from you completely. The brand is it's the gut feeling that you have when you interact with a business. And you can't control it. You can't control how someone feels about you, no matter how hard you try. And I think more importantly, brand is the story people tell about you. You can't control how someone talks about you to others. You can't control how your product or service is perceived. You can't control what side of the bed they've woken up on that morning. Okay? So what can you do? You can do your best. And I'll highlight do your best. To influence the brand experience. It's all about influence. Influence the brand through every single business touch point. I think understanding that you are not in control is the first step. Put aside all pride in your core product or service. It is not the only thing that is making up your brand experience, right? You might have the greatest product in the world, unless you've hit the nail on the head with all the other brand experiences, it means nothing. The customer experience requires action, not words, not pretty pictures or logos. I think it requires patience. There's a human interaction. It's all about service. The customer experience is the unseen magic, the effort required to deliver something unique. It's all the behind-the-scenes bits and pieces that make up a business. That is really crucial to brand experience. The customer experience is the feeling you have after you've walked away. The proof is in the pudding when someone talks about you to someone else in a positive light. I always give this story out. I don't know why, it's so boring. But it's about maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I had a run-in with my bank. I went to see my bank because I was really frustrated with all the fees and charges that were incurring on my bank account. And I simply went into the bank. And I just wanted to talk to someone. I said, look, is there another product that I can have that, you know, I don't use any of these banking services. Every time I come here, I have to wait half an hour. I have to line up just to speak to someone. Now, these days, banking has changed completely. But back then, seeing someone at the bank was a bit annoying. Just trying to cash in a check would be a half an hour exercise. Anyway, I was just unhappy with all the fees that I was getting, and I was only using it electronically, so I just didn't see the point in all these service charges. So I went in there, I said, look, I just want a different bank account. And I left feeling, I left with a really negative experience of that bank's brand, because no one wanted to help me. It took forever to see someone. I walked away, nothing had changed. They said, no, sorry, we can't help you. There's no other products that we can offer you. Even though I know that they could have waived a bunch of fees, they didn't do that. And so I walked out and went home, opened the mailbox, and there was a pamphlet from a competing bank. And it was advertising zero fees on all ATM transactions for any ATM in Australia. And I went straight to them. I walked through the door. There was no queue. They were very polite. And I set up a bank account. And I continually use that bank to this day. And every time I walk in there, they know my name. They know about my business. And they're really helpful in their products and services. No other bank I've dealt with has ever done that. So I tell people that story. And I tell people the name of that bank, Suncorp Bank. And I think that's a positive brand experience. And it's something I wanted to share with people. So it's the story I'm telling you about someone else. That is a brand right there. If you can do that, I think you'll do really well. Why? Why does a good brand matter? As I said, it's a really cluttered marketplace. I think it starts with brand. It starts with what is your customer experience. It's about innovation, not competition. The business under the hood is as important as the customer-facing attributes. So what happens behind the scenes? There's a cool story that Steve Jobs used to tell about the early days of Apple Computer. They'd be pedantic about how the computer was designed on the inside. And they took a lot of pride in developing, you know, the best computer, the best, you know, logic board layout, I suppose. There weren't cables sprayed around everywhere. They took meticulous attention to detail to the design of inside the computer, something no one was ever going to see. But it made a superior product. And, you know, I'm assuming it broke down less. There was lots of reasons why they did that. But the customer-facing attribute of their product benefited from what was inside the product. Good brands matter because it's about continued success and not just short-term profit. Now, there's always room, I think, for generic brands to exist in the market. There's brands out there that exist purely to fulfill a need, and that's fine. However, I don't think they last very long. You need to decide, I suppose, what you want your brand to be. So, this is like a kind of just some dot points, I suppose, in developing a good brand, I think. And if you're just starting out in business, you know, there's thousands of things that you need to take care of. But I think the foundation for that is good brand. So when you come to develop it, I think there's a book I'll recommend later. But look at the market and see where the gaps are. Is your product or service unique? Is your idea unique? As I said earlier, where you're facing constant competition from an extremely cluttered market. So you need to find white space, clear space. And you want to plant your brand there. There's a book called Zag. I'll just recommend it now. I was going to recommend it at the end. But it's by Marty Neumeier. And the description of Zag is this. When everybody zigs, zag, says Marty Neumeier in this fresh view of brand strategy. Zag follows the ultra-clear whiteboard overview style of the author's first book, The Brand Gap, but drills deeper into the question of how brands can harness the power of differentiation. The author argues that in an extremely cluttered marketplace, traditional differentiation is no longer enough. Today, companies need radical differentiation to create lasting value for their shareholders and customers. It's a really good book. It's a really easy read. Highly recommend it. That just reading that book, it just opened up a lot of ideas in my own head, but also with how I was communicating with our clients at Figment. We get a lot of clients in the same space, and so we need to try and extract how are they different from these guys. And it's really hard. Like, sometimes you talk to, say, like a real estate client, they think they're really innovative, but at the end of the day, they're all doing exactly the same thing. And I think it's actually negatively impacted the view of real estate agents in general. There's no core product differentiation. It's really hard to... And I'm just using real estate as an example. There's plenty of product categories that are exactly the same, but yeah, it's and once you communicate that to people, they suddenly go, oh yeah, we're actually doing the same thing that these guys are, and it's great for them because they can start thinking about ways to change their product. Oh yeah, Marty Neumeier, Neumeier. It's just called Zag. Just googling Zag book, you'll find it. Yeah. Anyway, I've gone off track as I always do. Developing good brand. Where have you come from? I think. This is really common, particularly for people starting out in business, and I'm guilty of this as well. People often start a business because they were doing something for someone else, and they want to transition into doing something but working for themselves. And this leads to my next point, purpose. What is driving you? Purpose will drive your brand personality. And it's got to be driven by you. So you need to come up with why are you doing what you're doing? What's the greater purpose? I think I'm running out of time, but that I think that, and Bernie doesn't. I won't go too Christian-y, but I think as a Christian and a Christian in business, defining your purpose in business is really important. And I'll be honest, I didn't do that when I started my business, and I completely lost my way. That caused a lot of issues. Caused emotional stress. Still does to some extent, I think. But defining that purpose is crucial to your brand experience, because sometimes, especially in small business, you are the brand. It's inevitable that the brand personality of your business is going to come from you. So I think that's really important. I think that's probably more part of, the business side of things as well, but it definitely affects your brand. Define the brand experience would be the next step. Define it, then you market it, and then you engage with your customers. That, in its entirety, is the brand experience. Brand personality, how will people talk about you and what will you be known for? Brand strategy. A lot of designers and creatives get this wrong. It's not about logo placement and visual rules. Brand strategy is really about how you are going to engage with your customers. What is that experience? What does that experience look like for every touch point of your business. That is a brand strategy. Do you have a timeline of when and how you're going to talk to your customers? When you pick up the phone, do you have a strategy in place? Brand strategy is about defining all the customer touch points. And I don't want you to be confused with marketing strategy on that. This marketing strategy is different. Now, this is the fun stuff. You want to badge the experience, okay? So when we talk about brand, brand is the customer experience. Creating a logo for that should be easy, right? Don't start from the logo and work there. Start with the experience, and all you're doing is badging it. Easy. It shouldn't be hard. Make sure your brand promises are exceeded. If you do conduct some marketing strategy or some kind of campaign, I think it's important that your brand experience matches the expectation that you've set in that campaign. Otherwise, you'll get angry people. The same goes for your communication to clients. Try and exceed the promises that you've made to them. I'll end it there. There's another book that I really like. It's called The E-Myth Revisited. It's by Michael Gerber. And this is a E-Myth. E-Myth. It's a really well-known book. Some of you have probably read it already. Michael Gerber explores the myths surrounding starting your own business and shows how common assumptions, expectations, and even technical expertise can get in the way of running a business. Now, Michael didn't intentionally set out to write a brand book. He wrote a book about business, but he actually wrote a brand book when you read it and you understand that brand is all about the customer experience. I'll leave you with one last story. My wife and I, we just got back from Uganda, and we had two polarizing brand experiences while we were in Uganda. And Michael uses a similar example in his book. He talks about the experience of staying in a hotel. Now, hotels are a good case study because hotels cover a broad range of services. They cover accommodation, somewhere to sleep, generally food, sometimes entertainment. There's a whole range of things that a hotel provides. And when we were in Uganda, we were staying in this hotel that was outside of the city, and it was close to the village that we were visiting. And I can't even remember the name of this hotel, to be honest. But it wasn't a pleasant experience, to say the least. You know, the rooms were okay. They're clean enough, I suppose. They smelt a bit funny. You know, the restaurant never had what was listed on their menu. They kind of just told you what they had available in the kitchen. And we ended up eating the same meal every night. Chicken and chips. That's all they had. They didn't have the drinks that you wanted, you know, or they weren't cold. And this is a typical Ugandan accommodation experience, let's be honest. But conversely to that, we stayed at a lodge called Cheninga Lodge. Cheninga? Yeah. And it's set on the edge of this crater lake. This crater is full of water, blue water. It's the most beautiful, magical place you've ever seen. The hotel is made up of individual huts. When you arrive, the concierge has cool, fresh juice waiting for you. They've got cool towels to wipe down your face with. All your baggage is sorted from the car into your hotel room. That's a brand experience right there. And it's the story I've just told you about it. So, yeah, I think that's, in summary, what I'm here to talk about. And, yeah, thanks for having me.